if you would, turn to Acts 24. Acts 24. Acts 24, and I want to read verses 1 through 14. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining, of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Here are some words from Robert Halker. "There is a fashionable gospel in the present day, which all the world may follow and yet escape reproach. But none who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth will go free." Today, just as it was back in Robert Halker's day, there is a fashionable gospel, which, as Paul has told us, is not the gospel, but a perversion of the gospel. Men everywhere in all religions, all denominations, have some form of free will that they teach. They teach in some way man has a part in his salvation. What they are concerned with, especially around this time of year, but they're concerned with their Christmas cantatas or their Christmas plays where they have their nativity scenes. In other times, they are all about having the functions with contemporary music, which would put to shame some of the so-called rock stars of this day and the shows they perform. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. What did our Lord tell the Pharisees in Luke 16, 14, and 15? "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." All the modern-day religious institutions are in a competition against each other. They want to see who can have the biggest crowds, the biggest buildings, the best scenes, the best gala. Although I should use the synonym for that, and that is a carnival. They brag on what all they have for people to do. But when it comes to the word, they could care less about what it is they are hearing or saying. In fact, all they want to hear or to say is something that builds man up and makes them feel good, but gives no glory to God for what he has done. As Joe has said, they will not let doctrine get in the way of their theology. Those who do care by the grace of God, what's being said and what's being heard are called names and ridiculed. They are called such things as Paul was called in Acts in our text, a sect. There are some things that we teach, such as us, some people that teach things such as us, and there's others, not just us, that they cannot put up with. I know this personally because this was me at one time. I couldn't put up with some of this stuff. But God be thanked, he did not leave me there. And I could just go through the 5 points, and I'm going to go through a few of them, but I want to tell you a little something about the 5 points. Someone was asked one time, do you know what a 5-pointer is? And being in West Virginia, we can understand the answer, and the answer was, yeah, it was a buck that I was looking for last week in the woods. But then someone asked a preacher, or said to a preacher, there are some who only believe in 4 points. And the wise preacher responded, well, then I think they're pointless, aren't they? And that's what they are. There's more than the 5 points in the book of God. But those 5 points are true nonetheless. But there's more than 5 points. And we read of one in the passage in the account that I just read from. But I want to go through a few of these, and that is limited atonement, total depravity, and election. Jesus Christ did not die for every single individual in the world. This is limited atonement. So any who are hearing me, it may be that Jesus Christ did not die for you. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
It says he shall save. And we know God's shalls are as good as if they were done. But we also know this work has already been accomplished. But who are his people? First of all, they are the ones that will have their sins forgiven. The word is really singular, but it is also true of their sins. It says sins in the text there in the book, but the word is sin. It's singular. But they shall be saved from their sin, and because of them being sin, they shall be also saved from their sins, which is what they do. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Someone might say, I know I have sins, but I don't hate God. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That Greek word for the ungodly is derived from two other Greek words. One means to revere, adore, devout, religious, worship. And the other word negates that. So it means irreverent, impious, or wicked. And that is, you're not this toward God. There is no love for God, and there is no worship of God if you are an ungodly person. These are the one God tells us he died for. But it says Christ in due time died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Can you take your place as an ungodly person? Can you take your place as a sinner? Mark 2:17 says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Those for whom Jesus Christ came to save have no need of that great physician, because they know that they are sick. And from those for whom Jesus Christ came to save have need of this great physician, because they know that they are sick from head to the bottom of their feet.
Yes.
Christ goes on to say, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
This sickness is the reason Jesus Christ had to come. This sickness being the total depravity of man. So total depravity, number two. Man, as we are born in Adam, are as totally depraved as we can be. There is nothing in this flesh that will ever be good. Paul tells us that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You can fight against God's word all you want, but God says we, as we are born in Adam, are totally corrupt. Even as believers, we may not see how bad we are. We may not know how bad we are, but we can get no worse than what we are by nature. This flesh is nothing but corrupt. Man does not like this because in this flesh, we like to think we're pretty good folks. We like to think we can put our best foot forward. But man is absolutely and totally depraved. The word depraved itself is not used in Scripture. What this word means is corrupt, wicked, or perverted. Contrast that with God is absolutely holy, righteous, just, and perfect. So man, as he is born, will not decide to turn to God. Those he came to save are ungodly. Christ says in John 6:43-44, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can, and this word can in the Greek means to be able to or possible. No man can come to me. Not one single person will be able to come to Jesus Christ on their own. This is what Jesus Christ tells us right here. These are his words. Except. Here's the one exception concerning those who will come to Jesus Christ. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It does not matter what you think. It only matters what God says.
Amen.
God says you will not come to Jesus Christ unless God the Father draws you to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Psalm 110:3 says, thy people, again, a certain and specific people, not just anyone and certainly not everyone, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Because we are totally corrupt, we can do nothing for ourselves. His dying, for some, was based on his election. Number three, election. Not one of us can point out those for whom Christ died out of a crowd. There is no distinguishing mark that God has given them. There is no good or evil that they do to manifest this choosing or election. We read in Romans 9, God says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And God tells us this was before either one of them had done any good or evil.
Amen.
So what they did or did not do had nothing to do with why they were chosen of God. It was solely based on the will of God, and this was so that the purpose of God according to election might stand. There are a lot of people because of this one doctrine who will accuse you of multiple things. One thing they will accuse you of is being in a cult. What this world accuses us of and what we actually are two different things. But I was looking up the meaning of the word cult, and here are a couple of definitions of cult. A small religious group that is not part of a larger or more accepted religion and that has beliefs regarded by many people as extreme or dangerous. Strike one against me. Great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work. Strike two against me. What they define as being a cult, at least in part, I can say that it is true of me. I am with a small group which has true religion, and we are not part of any larger accepted religion, that kind of religion which men highly esteem. I will add this, most people think we are extreme because we believe what this book says. We are devoted to a person. That is one person in his work. That one person is Jesus Christ the Lord. This world takes liberty with God's word, and they will say things like, society has changed so some of these things are no longer true or no longer valid for us in this day. But we know God does not change. And therefore, what God tells us in His Word does not change.
Amen.
As Walter has said before, the U.S. Constitution may give you freedom of religion, but God does not. But there is one more thing that they will not put up with, nor will they bow down to it apart from the grace of God doing a work in them and on them. Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. He is no longer a little baby. They want to keep God as a little baby so that God has need of them to take care of him, and so they can do for God. God cannot do for me since I have to do something for him. Now, I know full well they will not say it this way, nor will they say this about always having, during this time of year, their nativity scenes with a little baby in a manger. They will not say they do this because they need to do something for God. But Jesus Christ is no longer in a manger. It doesn't matter how many Christmas plays this world produces. Yeah. But this is what their thought is. They believe they have made the choice to serve God, but they do not give one thought about this little holy baby which was born of a virgin that has not only died on that tree, but he has arisen to the Father's right hand. And those for whom he died, those whom he chose, those whom are totally, totally depraved by nature are saved to the uttermost.
Yes.
This God who was pleased to come and save a people from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation has done what he came to do.
Yeah.
There never was, is, or shall be anything that we can do for God. That is Jew and Gentile alike. Christ says in John 10:16, he says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd."
Amen.
This Lord who was born a Jew, but not just a Jew, a spiritual Jew, a true Jew, that one which will bring all true Jews into that one fold, the spiritual Israel, they do not like a risen Lord who sits on his throne.
Yeah, that's it.
And if you would, turn back with me to Acts 2 for a minute. Acts 2. And we'll talk a little bit about this throne. Acts 2. Acts 2, verses 32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool." Some might say, well, this just says seated at the right hand of God. It says nothing about a throne. Just go back up a few more verses in 29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Being at the right hand of God and exalted is Christ on his throne.
Yes.
And he is in power and majesty, the God of all the universe.
Amen.
As we read in our text and in the surrounding scripture of that text or that account that I chose to read, we see that those who hate Jesus Christ will come up with anything and everything to accuse you of and try to relegate what you are saying as extremism. So they try to make you look like you're over the top or that you just have some wild ideas. But the very scriptures which they search are the ones that speak of Jesus Christ and his rule over all.
Yes.
They will not do as these did in that day and bring you before a magistrate or a king to try and have you put to death. But they will try to silence you and all those who believe this Christ so that no one else will listen to you. They will try to get you involved in some of their social events to try and prevent you from thinking on Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say in 2 Timothy 4:3? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. First of all, when will that time be where it says this will come? When this was written is when it will come. They will make sure that the ones that are teaching them are those who will teach them what they want to hear, not what Scripture says. They are not concerned with sound doctrine. They are only concerned with what scratches their ears and that itch for that unsound doctrine. These are they which tell us that what we teach is heresy. Paul tells them the way which they call a sect, that is the way which they call heresy, is the way I worship God. We worship God through the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and the only way to God. Man does not want to hear that Jesus Christ is all. All in the salvation of sinners. They have to have their part. In some way, they have to have their part. But God will not have any of our part. It is what He came to die for is our part. We know today that to be called a Christian is commonplace. Not that every single person in the world calls themselves Christian, but it is very common, especially in this country, to hear someone calling themselves Christian or doing so-called Christian things. But the one thing they will not bow down to is Jesus Christ and His Word.
Amen.
Which doesn't make sense, does it?
Exactly.
The way they call heresy, the way they call a sect, although a sect is not necessarily defined the exact same way as a cult is, it's very close. Here's the meaning. A group of people with somewhat different religious beliefs, typically regarded as heretical, from those of a larger group to which they belong. A group that has separated from an established church, a nonconformist church. They would not call us a Christian today. They would call us a cult, a sect, or heresy. But we read in Acts 11:25-26, we read, Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And that's Paul, the one that we were just reading of in our text. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Yes.
This man who taught those things which we hold to, along with others in his sect, were called Christians then. Yet there are those today who call themselves Christians who will not hold to what the Apostle Paul taught.
Yeah.
I nor you have any concern if someone makes fun of us. We shouldn't anyway. We do, but we shouldn't. Or if they get angry with us and call us names or accuse us of heresy. In fact, we should not be ashamed of this at all. We should, in fact, give glory to God for it. 1 Peter 4:6 says, Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
Yes, sir.
If you do not suffer as a Christian, then it may be that you are not a Christian, but an impostor. The word for Christian in the scripture means a follower of the anointed one. That is, a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ for who He is and what He has done. He is sovereign King, and it is He to whom you should bow down before Him. If you worship at all, it will be in submission to Him. If you will not submit, you have no reason to think that you worship God. We as Christians, by the grace of God, submit to Him and His will. We know if we have our way, that is, if we have our will fulfilled, it will be shot full of hell. We want His will, and we want His will to be toward us in mercy, knowing He has every right to not show us mercy. Now, if you will turn with me to Acts 26, and I'll close with this, Acts 26. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 29, a little bit lengthy, but. And this is going on with the same account here that we started with. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should arise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. It is my hope that you are convinced to be a Christian, not by me, but by God. If he does convince you, you will become a follower of us and of the Lord. We worship one man, And that one man is Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead and is seated with all power. May it be our plea, dear Lord, come save me. Amen.